UNC Radio. You are on the air. Hello?
Hello? Hello, this is Bill calling from Chicago.
Hello, Bill from Chicago. You are on live on the Day Abscond by UNC New Year's radio program of the air. How are you? Thank you so much. This is Bill, by the way, Ensley. How are you doing?
Ensley,
E-N-D,
thank you.
And Ensley, but there's an S in there, right? Or is it Endley?
E-N-D, at end of the Lee.
Oh, ooh. Well, there you go. Well, Bill, now that I've gotten your name semi-right, how's your holiday? How's your, you know, your New Year's? How was your Christmas and all that sort of thing?
Cold. But really good. I just got back from Tennessee visiting my family and ready to rock in the New Year. You guys did New York already? Was that fun?
We did. Well, it was tremendous fun. We're here in Greeley, Colorado. So basically playing a pre-recording.
Right, you need to have 2 more hours. And are you going to go all the way to Hawaii?
You want to do that? You want to stay on the air till Hawaii? Or Japan?
No, I'm just saying you have to stay on the air till Hawaii.
Don't worry, Bill. You won't have to. He's just talking to me, Bill. You're cool.
Yeah, that's my wife, Joyce, by the way.
Bill, are you a theater critic?
Excellent.
Are you a theater critic?
I was a theater producer, a theater stage manager, and I have written, yes, I have, but generally I am a consultant and an arts aficionado.
Ooh. That's why when Mary could not make our show today, Mary Shenbarnage, who's a longtime theater critic at Windy City Times and a couple of other places, she recommended that Bill Endley call and take
Endley,
her place.
Endley.
So, because you've done so many things in the arts, so we want to talk a little bit about your background and also talk about the year in Chicago arts scene and food and music and theater and film and all that sort of thing. So, first of all, what did you do in the theater when you were what did you produce and where in Chicago?
Right. Well, I moved from Memphis, Tennessee to Chicago in 1988 to make my way in the theater, where, of course, you're supposed to be able to break in much easier than New York. So I worked my way to the top as a stage manager, making $25 a show, 4 shows a week.
It's more than I make here, fella.
Yeah, that's $100. So I had to get a real job. So basically from 88 to 98 or so, I was the that kind of thing. And then I sold out and got a real job. And so now I'm a consultant, travel all over the world, but really support the arts here in Chicago. I'm on the board of an arts gallery. And Mary brings me along on some of the shows. And then we did a blog together, actually. I was the webmaster for Mary's blog, which is unfortunately defunct, but on Stage Combat. You know that Mary did a newsletter on Action Quarterly, Moulinet, on Stage Combat, so that's one of her passions, and so
I helped
with that as well.
Why did the blog stop? Was it when she hurt her leg and she kind of was out of commission for half a year?
Yeah, that was part of it, and just maintaining, kind of converting everything and doing all that and maintaining. You have to upgrade, and, we got hacked and all sorts of things, but that's
all right.
That's a low.
Well, okay, but let's get to the highs again. So you produced shows, right?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Like?
They were mostly vanity productions. We did playwrights, and when I first came here, I worked. One of the shows we did is Chicago Dramatists Workshop, and also we worked with original shows. So the whole idea of playwriting and figuring out that kind of stuff is not very commercial. Original plays are not that commercial.
Really?
I'm kidding, but
I never guess.
It's shocking.
So here's the question: a consultant sounds like a really wonderful job. You basically pay a lot of money to give common sense advice. Is that what do you do? When someone hires you, what are they hiring you for?
Well, because they don't have an outside perspective. I mean, basically, when I got into the gig, most people get into their tunnels and they need somebody to come outside and look at it. It's like IT consulting. Did you try plugging it in?
Oh, okay.
That's a joke.
I get it.
It's usually, first you say, Bill, reboot. Reboot.
Yeah.
Reboot, and then before you plug it in. See, that's how old I am.
Or back in the day with the televisions, did you smack the side? Did you give it a tap with the back of your hand?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, okay, so you consult, you would go to these places, and they'll have an exhibit to show, or... Like, what do you consult on specifically?
Oh, I do international consulting. So, yeah, I'm right now, the project that I'm working on is in Uganda. So, the women, it's about women's property rights, and the idea that women traditionally do not have the right to property in Uganda, but they do. The constitution changed like 10 years ago, but nobody told them. So, that's where you get the idea of. Actually, it's a liberal arts. Well, ultimately, how do you take a liberal arts degree and make money off of it? Well, it's square peg, round hole. You have to be able to solve problems that nobody else can solve. The engineers can't solve them. The politicians can't solve them. So that's really how you can take the liberal arts, which are lovely, but it is all about, how you say, multidiscipline or solving problems.
But how do you become the go-to expert on Ugandan women? How did you get qualified?
I wish I knew the answer to that. Yeah, well, it's a path. I mean, ultimately, you have to be in the situation where you are putting together, you're solving problems. You know what works and what doesn't work?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of idea where ultimately our systems, the systems, for better or worse, are the U.S. systems, particularly property and money and all that, are being copied all over the world, but they don't have the social infrastructure or the culture to support it. So that's where the culture comes in, is, okay, how do we understand the system, but also understand that it has to adapt to the culture.
Okay.
And obviously the culture in Uganda is different than the culture here, but not so much.
So's the cuisine, if you ask Idi Amin, you know.
Yeah, at the very least.
Now, speaking of cuisine and speaking of other things, you're as you're saying, aficionado, a maven of the Chicago arts scene. Not necessarily theater so much, but of all the whole cultural gestalt, shall we say, of Chicago. So tell us about the year in Chicago culture.
Well, for me, this is just, we did the music. One of the things is the MCA, the Museum of Contemporary Art, which is always great. Anybody who comes here should go there. You know, it's very, very accessible. And this year, the big thing was the Takashi Murakami exhibit, which is really, really incredible. He was a pop art guy with Kanye West album covers and doing this whole pop art thing. And then after the earthquake and the Fukushima thing in Japan, it really changed his perspective, and his whole art changed, and he did like the Thousand Ararats. It was cool because you start with the pop art and then you go to that whole kind of dark Ararats, but it was really, really wacky. But he created a special show for Chicago called The Octopus Eats Its Own Leg.
Oh!
And so...
Are you squigging?
Really, really incredible.
Oh, okay. So anything else in the fine arts or in other big shows?
That was the big show, okay. And then we have little galleries. There's an art gallery called Life Force Art Center, which has, like, arts and spirit. So they had art and healing, and their current show is Art and Language of Community. Oh. So it's a really, really cool show. The kind of thing, I actually was able to get a piece from that show, so it's kind of that pedestrian Midwest kind of non-pretentious, you know, big museums, but you can. There are also galleries which you can go in and actually buy art for just the regular folks. So it was really cool, great shows. It's accessible. That's the cool thing about Chicago is you should very, very accessible, whether it's restaurants, theater, art, any of that.
Yeah. When I was younger, I used to go into museums to try and get a piece, but it was a very different sort of thing. Let me ask. Are you a maven of the restaurants in Chicago as well?
We did restaurants, incredible. This year, it's a go-to. I mean, there are a lot of new restaurants, but Blackbird, it has a star. You know, it has a Michelin star. It's always really, really good. They have a 10-course tasting menu, which is, you know, the when I went, it was all game birds. So there was quail and squab and duck on the menu. That's not on the menu anymore. It changes every season. But it was really, really cool. And if you come to Chicago, you have to go to a steakhouse.
Oh, well, yeah. Hell yeah. But not Ruth Chris or Morton's. What's an authentic Chicago steakhouse that isn't a chain?
My favorite is Kinsey Chop House. Okay. It's been around forever. It's a really great, great steakhouse. It happens to be owned by a woman, which is, you know, this we're all talking about this year and that kind of trend. It's by the Merchandise Mart, which if anybody's been to Chicago, it's a huge, huge place. They've been there forever, small place, but a really, really good Chicago authentic, great steakhouse.
All right, now hold on. Is a Chicago steak different from a New York or a Colorado steak?
Chicago steak is usually aged.
Right. We'd like to think it was an older adult sort of a steak, but yeah, I'm just kidding. but a good steakhouse anywhere is aged.
I think it's the size of the meat.
That's what she said. Come on, you set me up there. Come on.
it's New Year's. Hello.
All right. Okay. So we've done food. We've done fine arts. What about
Shaw's? I just have to mention Shaw's Crab House. Everybody should definitely hit Shaw's Crab House
Charles.
You got to go to Shaw's.
Shaw's or Sean's?
Shaw's.
Shaw's.
Shaw's Crab House.
Shaw's Crab House. Where George Bernard Shaw got crabs. What?
Yep.
Did you make art? Well, what are you at? You can talk into the microphone, huh? I don't have to be the only one asking questions. So say the question again because I can't hear you. Do you make art? Was that it? Yeah. Do you make art?
Do I make art?
Yeah.
I write. I generally write a poet. Let's just call me that.
Oh, neat. Okay. Do you do slams and things like that?
I did. Well, talking about Barnage, actually, that's when I met Barnage in the 80s, late 80s. Actually met Barnage at a slam at the Green Mill.
Well, okay. So you must have known our mutual friend Epi Mahopoulos back in the day.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. You're welcome to read us a poem if you want to bring us into...
I wasn't prepared. Wasn't the assignment.
Okay, that's true. That's fair enough. So we have about 3 minutes or 2 minutes now before the new year. Let's talk about music, though. What?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, are you going to stay?
Yeah, this year.
Yeah. What was that?
Go ahead. Yeah, this year there was the big event, the Jazz Festival, which this year was, they had a tribute to Ella Fitzgerald, which had Paul Marinaro, who was 48, and Sheila Jordan, who was 88.
Whoa. Okay.
And they did a duet, and it was really, really cool. Paul's kind of the new kid on the scene. He's a Sinatra kind of old school, but really, really handsome, really, really talented. He's got a great... And then Sheila Jordan is like 88 and has been on the scene for 40, 50 years. And so that was a really, really cool jazz kind of old school, new school, show the kid around. It was really, really cool. So that was a highlight of my summer. And to me, again, with the MCA show and the Jazz Fest in Chicago and great food, great restaurants, definitely a great year.
Wow. Well, stay with us for like another minute because we're going to count down to midnight Chicago time. We're 1 minute away from the new year. Let's do our countdown because we're getting there and we can wish everybody a big happy new year. Here it comes.
Get ready for the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Happy New Year! So happy New Year to the folks in Chicago. It is midnight as we speak. Bill, are you still with us?
Bill? I'm still alive.
Yeah. You made it into another year. Congratulations, sir. So what was the most fun thing you did in that you haven't mentioned yet in 2017?
Most fun thing I did.
That you can talk about on the radio.
Question.
Yeah.
My resolution this year was to read books. So I read some good books, which was Nobody reads books anymore. Yeah. Actual hardcover books. So it was kind of wacky, but I made a resolution.
Yeah. What was the best book that you read?
We'll go through the books are The Evicted, which Matthew Desmond, which is about Milwaukee, actually, just these days and housing and people getting, you know, there's a whole industry to make sure that people are kicked out of their house as quickly as possible. Oh. Which, going back to opiates and, you know, the whole, so now that we're gossip, can we talk about gossip now?
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. What's the gossip? What's the news, man?
Well, you did. I wanted to go into the new year positively, but we did have the theater since Mary.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about the big story in the theater with Hedy Weiss and the whole critic.
Well, explain. Our listeners aren't necessarily theater. I mean, they're not necessarily Chicago theater people. So, in a nutshell, tell us what happened with theater critic Hedy Weiss in Chicago.
Please. Well, there was if we can take a step back to 2016,
sure.
There was a theater that closed, and this whole idea of sexual harassment in the Chicago theater style, which is, you know, oh yeah, we actually punch each other, and unfortunately, they actually also assaulted women on stage in Chicago, and the cool thing about it was in 2016, before the current in fashion, that's what we do in the Midwest, we're pioneers, a lot of women got together and really said, you know what, we're going to come forward and we're going to say, we're being abused on stage. And so the theater that in question was closed down, they started a group and they said, you know, we need to let this happen. And this is one of the Mary's things, is about all this idea, because stage combat is not really, you don't really hit people.
Right, of course, yeah.
It's an art.
Yeah.
And so of course, on the stage, women were actually being abused.
Wow.
You know, anyway, it's past that, but they came forward. And so to me, that really created the environment where the community felt comfortable to come forward and say, hey, this theater critic is making a racist statement, whether or not it was a racist statement. But to me, that was the idea, is that the community had already come together and stood up against one thing, so they were able to come together. She was talking, the play was basically a Waiting for Godot, Passover, but about two black guys and white cops and the whole issue in Chicago. And so
what do they have to do with Passover? I'm sorry, what does that have to do with Passover?
I don't, that's the name of the play.
Oh, okay. So it's two guys waiting basically for Messiah or Moses to split the waters and stuff, and then a woman comes over and Moses rapes her. It's a whole big thing there. Just doing some comedy there. So, okay, but what did Hedy Weiss say about this play?
She basically said that black-on-black crime was a thing and that the white characters were, you know, and so people objected. So there was now a petition. She reviewed it. It was only like two sentences out of her review. Were just basically, I think she liked it relative. The review was actually positive, but were a couple of sentences that set people off. You know, saying that she was putting her own personal biases into the review.
That's what critics do, for crying out loud. It's part of what...
Hello?
Yeah. And she survived it, by the way. This wasn't something that cost her
Absolutely.
Job or even much of a reputation.
Long, actually, it didn't last very long. It was a very short...
Yeah.
My context from it was that because of the previous thing where the community had gotten together and made a protest against a theater who was not treating people properly, that therefore enabled the community to get together. And it, you know, I mean, that...
Yeah, I mean, we're in...
Or negative, everybody has to get together and make noise, and you're either right or wrong.
But what did they do? So what was the outcome of it, that she wrote the piece, people? What happened?
They had asked... There was a petition to not allow her to get free tickets to shows anymore.
Whoa, wow.
They were saying to ban her from coming to the shows. And none of the theaters, you know, it didn't. There were 2,000, 3,000 people who signed an online petition. Ultimately, Hedy is still Hedy, and it went. I like it. Dialogue. I mean, I think her compadre, Chris Jones at the Tribune. You know, because Hedy and Chris. I mean, there aren't that many. You know, they're the big guys. And Chris, you know, said, you know, she's entitled to her opinion. Criticism is criticism. Exactly.
Absolutely.
I mean, mean, I've been here a long time, and so I was here. I saw Hedy and Richard Christensen and Tony Adler on a panel like in the 90s, and talking about what is criticism, what it isn't. And so Hedy's the only one. Tony's still writing, but Hedy said at the time she's a consumer advocate. She's talking to the consumers, and that's at that time the Sun-Times was more consumer paper than it is now. But that was her.
Well, yeah, and also she's entitled to have context. Every review is written in context. If somebody's reviewing Waiting for Godot in 1980 and they're reviewing Waiting for Godot in 2010, they're entirely different worlds, different contexts, different themes coming. I mean, you're not talking about Waiting for Godot itself, but I'm just saying it's like we bring our baggage, and if we write about the baggage first and then pack the play into it, as it were. So I think the whole thing is pretty ridiculous, as I guess most of the Chicago theaters saw through it and agreed, as do you.
It comes back from the slam days. If nobody objects to what you said, then nobody heard you.
Exactly.
Good point.
Exactly.
I like that.
We say the same thing, that if you don't challenge people to think, you're not teaching. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I mean, I it's a hard lesson to learn, but I've learned it. Yeah, I do speeches and I travel, you know, and if somebody does come up to me and tell me I'm totally full of it, then nobody was listening.
I think we've all been there. So tell us one more thing about the Chicago cultural scene. Like, what is Chicago excited about for 2018 culturally?
We keep with our regular kind of things. I mean, the Navy Pier and Chicago Shakespeare has a new space.
Oh.
So on the pier, the Chicago Shakespeare Theater, they're redoing the pier, which is a huge tourist thing. And so they just opened this year the Yard, which is their new space, which is kind of, they have like 9, I think it is, portable seating towers, which they can move and reconfigure.
Oh, that's cool.
They can do proscenium, they can do courtyard, they can do alley. And so we're interested to see how that plays out, how they use that space.
Cool.
And look at that space. Yeah, so I think that's going to be really cool. So that's one of the things we're looking forward to, because they just opened it. So we'll see how they do that and how they work.
Because I remember a few years back, Chicago was in a period of attrition, and all these theaters that had been around for 20, 30 years were suddenly, within a couple of years of each other, were closing and going bye-bye. Has that stopped, and it's now on an upswing again?
The big institutional ones, I think, have kind of shaken out. Mm. The smaller, I mean, that's one of the great things about Chicago is with Northwestern Theater School, which isn't turning out fewer graduates, they're turning out the same number. So there's always the kind of that off-loop scene where, when I mentioned earlier about Profiles, which was a theater that closed because of those issues, then Pride Plays moved into their space. One of the things that's going on, too, is a cultural Wrigley Field. There's going to be a hotel up on, they're redoing Wrigley Field. Well, there's like 20 theaters within walking distance of Wrigley Field, and so a part of that is a hotel. And so, you know, when after baseball season, hey, you can get a cheap room and walk and see 20, 30 plays right in that area. So that's one of the cool things that's going on. That area and really supporting arts centers and because we ultimately you have to have the revenue flowing in.
Right.
So that's one of the things that you have to look at. This is me and my business side coming in. I'm working on as a board of on an art gallery and a spiritual center. You have to figure out where's the money coming from. You do have to kind of look at that. And so I think that's one of the things that some of the older institutions forget that they have to actually do. You still have to have a product. You still have to appeal to people.
That's true. Well, you have appealed to us quite a lot, Bill Endsley. If people wanted to get in touch with you for a project that they are doing in this country or elsewhere, an artistic thing, and they want your consulting services, do you have a website? Do you have a contact thing?
I do. It's worldcitizenconsulting.com. So worldcitizenconsulting.com, really taking it to the world. Happy New Year. And you guys are getting ready to count down at home.
Yeah, we got 50 more minutes here in Colorado before our midnight. But it was great to spend some minutes with you talking. So most happy New Year to you and to your partner and to your family. And best wishes on everything that you're doing, man.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Have a great one. Happy New Year. Bye-bye now.
Happy New Year.